The choice is not mine. But right now, for this moment in time, I wanna say I'm glad to be alive. Glad to wake up and see the sunrise. I see the natural beauty outside. See the beauty staring in my white eyes. I feel the anticipation of greatness, filled with wonder and awesome amazement. There's no words to explain it, even when I'm facing tribulation. Looking at contracts and stipulations, I know you'll guide me through all situations. I'm so free, way beyond containment. I wouldn't sell out no matter the payment. I'm looking to the sky, standing on the pavement, lifting your name on high. 'Cause when I'm gone, I don't wanna leave behind. I don't wanna leave behind my life. If it doesn't glorify you in the sky.
Thank you, Lord, this day. Father, we thank you, Lord God, so much for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the breath of life. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the author and the giver of life, the giver of every good and perfect gift, Lord God, has come from you. And so, Lord, this day, Father, we just even receive, Lord, the very breath that's in our body, Lord, as a gift from you, a good gift from you, Lord God, that allows us, Father, to be in this world, but to not be of it, but Lord, to be in this world, Lord God, and to be part of your creation, Lord God, to be part of what you are doing at this time, to be part, Lord God, of your kingdom, Father God, in the world, Lord, living and breathing and moving and having our being in you. And so, Lord, this day, Father, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, and we praise you, Father, for just this blessed mystery of life, Lord, that we get to live and be part of, Father God. And so, Lord, this day, Father, we just come before you as your children. Lord, we rest, Father God, at your feet. Father, we rest, Lord God, in your presence, Lord, knowing that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, Father God. And so, Lord, we come before you, Father, knowing, Lord, that we renew our strength every moment that we are in your presence. Lord, that you take our burdens, Father. You, when we cast all our cares upon you, Father God, you take it, Lord God. And, Lord, you care for us, Lord, and you lift us up, Father. You are the lifter of our heads. So, Lord, this day, Father God, Lord, I acknowledge, Father God, my complete dependence on you, Father, and that there is nothing, Lord God, that I have that you have not put in me, Lord God, or that I have that is anything apart from you. And so, Lord, I yield to your Spirit, Father. And, Lord, I pray, Father God, this day, Lord, that the words that are spoken will be completely from you, Father, for what it is that you have for your people this day. So, Lord, we want to say thank you. And, Lord, in Jesus' name, we do bind every demonic force, every hindering spirit, every assignment of the enemy. And, Lord, we do cast it out in Jesus' name as a defeated foe, Lord. And, Lord, we just rest this day in you as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
ඒ නුඹලාගේ ආත්මික සේවය මේ. නුඹලා මේ ලෝකයේ ආකාරයට සමාන නොවී දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ කැමැත්ත එනම් යහපත් වූ පිළිගත යුතු වූ සම්පූර්ණ වූ මේ කුමක්ද කියා දැනගන්නා පිණිස සිත අලුත් කර ගැනීමෙන් අන්‍යාකාර ඇසෝ දෙයලා.
Okay. There is a very, very strong battle that we were born into when we first came to this world.
Then
You know, there's some things that when we just came to this world, those were a given. Those were things that we had to deal with right away. Those are things that we have to right away, that's part of our experience here that we have when we first come to the world. So when you're born into the world, there's certain things that become part of your human experience right away. So for example, from the very moment that you got here, you found out you get hungry. So if you don't eat for an extended period of time, outside of fasting and God sustaining you, you get hungry. And if you're like me, if you get hungry, you get grumpy. It's that. Upset, a bit angry, a bit easily agitated. So if I get hungry, it has an effect on other things for me. So there's certain parts of our human experience from the moment that we get here that have an effect on our minds, on our thoughts, on our disposition. So for us, when we come to this world, now that's a very overt one, a very tangible one, something that we can all get a grasp on and say, okay. But there's other things that are as real as that, but they're in the realm of spirit and they've been part of our experience from the moment we got here as well. And one of those things is the very real spiritual battle that all of us were born into from the very day that we came into this world. Now we've talked before in part why God allows for this. Because scriptures tell us in Isaiah 45 that God even created evil. I'll show you. Keep your finger in Romans 12, but go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. And verse number 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Okay. How many of you have heard a sermon preached on the God that created evil? No? No, we haven't, have we? No, what we've all heard sermons on is how God created this world and something went wrong. And when something went wrong in the world that God created, then all of a sudden now there's this big cosmic battle between God, who's in a straitjacket, trying to get right this world. Oh, sorry, that's the lie. We don't hear a sermon about the God that created evil and why. But I'm learning something right now, even it's starting to really be solidified in my soul, that now I begin to love the whole thing that God made because I'm starting to see why. Okay, when God, who created Lucifer? I'll just ask you some questions. Who created Lucifer? God made Lucifer. Did God know what Lucifer would do before He created him and when He made him? Yes? Okay, yes. Who made Adam and Eve? That one's very clear, yes. God made Adam and Eve. Did He know that Adam and Eve would fall? Okay, so He knew that Adam and Eve would fall. He created Lucifer. He knew what Lucifer would do. So God, in the creation, in everything that He made, knew exactly what would happen, yes? So God, when He made this world, and the world that we live in right now, is not an accident at all. But the world that we live in right now is exactly the world that God wants at this moment in time. Now, you have to understand that humanity has gone through a lot of changes over time. And the kinds of civilizations and the things that have come and gone, lots of things have happened, come and gone. But throughout this time, there's been the war against the souls and the hearts of men throughout. And there's been a system in this world that's been designed and increasingly perfected to try to take and to grab the souls of people. Okay. God has allowed for this. God has actually created this. Because in the creation of what has been made, there's also an amazing plan taking place. When you see the clashes of opposites, when you see the clashes of opposites, there's amazing things that happen. When you see what people rise through when they live through this world and this world experience, you see the refining of a person and their person's life. So when we are born into this world, exactly the world that God desired at this moment in time, because if it wasn't, He would have changed it, because He can change it like that. When we were born into this, we were born into exactly what He wanted us to be born into. But now when we come into this thing, now here we are, and all of a sudden now we're in this world where there is all this oppression, all of these attacks coming on every side, yes? It's you from the moment you're here, it's like bullets flying everywhere, yes? And there seems to be no peace, no. So you're looking for it, you're trying to find it, you can't find it. And everywhere that you go, you can't find the rest that your soul desires. And then you're offered one of two things. You're offered one of two ways. Ultimately, you're offered one of two things. You're offered either you can sell out to the world. You can, like in Luke chapter 4, where Lucifer said to even Jesus, the devil said to Jesus, look, bow down before me and I'll take away all the issue that you have. I'll give it all to you. You'll have a place in the world, but just give me your allegiance here. Or you can receive the call that Jesus Christ gives to His people, which is, come unto me all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. Yes? So you can take that one. Because you have free will. See, when God made us and God put us in the earth, we were allowed to exercise the free will that He's given us. And now in that free will decision, we get to make a choice. And if you choose the way of Christ Jesus, if you choose to go on the way with Him, because John 14 verse 6, He said, I am the way, truth and the life. So He said, I'm not the prayer that you pray at the altar and then go back to do everything that you always did.
Sorry?
So he's not the, you know, come to the altar and now raise your hand and now everything's gone away. No, you've seen that. Yes, that's the ritual that we have, where, okay, now we have the meeting. Okay, who wants to know God? Raise your hand. Okay, come to the altar, stand, say these words, and now everything's okay. Jesus Christ is a way. Jesus Christ is a journey. And in that journey, in that process, there's a lot of things that we live through and experiences we live through.
ඉතින් මේ ගමන තුල මේ ගමන යනකොට ගොඩාක් දේවල් අපේ ජීවිතේට අත්දකින් ලැබෙන්න යනවා අපි ගොඩාක් දේවල් ඉගෙන ගන්න යනවා මේ ගමන
And God allows for everything that we face because in that process we are also coming into a deeper, stronger connection with Him. We are learning His voice. He said, My sheep know My voice, right? John 10. And they won't follow another. So we're learning stronger when He speaks to us, this is Him, that He's leading and guiding us. So we're learning also too the truth of the Word. So for example, when the world says, if you don't bow your knee to us, we will punish you, we will destroy you, we will do all of these things to you. And then when you follow Christ and you seek first the kingdom, Matthew 6, you find out His provision. So you find out His miraculous provision in the midst of an entire system that would seek to destroy you if it could. Now, would we know those things if we didn't have the world here to test us like that? Would we? Is it starting to click? Would we know those things if we did not have the world and the world system clashing against us? I want to hear you answer the question. Yes, no. Would you know the provision of God if you didn't live in a world that works so hard to destroy you, but then you sought first the kingdom of God, you realized His providing power, and then at the end of it you realized your own complete dependence on Him, your trust of Him, and how He takes care of you? So, you realize the world serves a purpose. The world serves a purpose in the plan of God. You realize that truly, Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. So you realize that someone like Pharaoh in Egypt, holding God's people, and Moses and all of that, you realize how God can use that situation to show His power and His strength, and also to bring a people out that realize that was God.
Yapi
Had you not had the impossible situation, would you have then not had that opportunity to see God's hand extended on your behalf? Had Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not had the lion's den and the fiery furnace, would they have had the opportunity to see God do what He did with them? So the world serves its purpose. Now God has called you out of the world. And you and I belong to the kingdom of God. Now I'm not mad at the world. I used to be very mad at the world. Because it was like, you know, why is it like this? And who are these people? And why are they doing all these things? But they're doing exactly what they were made to do. The devil is a very good bad devil. So the devil is a very good bad devil. He does a very good job at being bad. He does a very good job at executing, testing against the body of Christ. He does a very good job at bringing and going and really checking the people of God. Now he has to work within the limitations that God puts on him. So if you read the story of Job in the first chapter, second chapter, if you start reading the story of Job, you see the story of a righteous man, which the devil had to go and talk to God, and God even said, look, have you considered my servant Job? But a righteous man who the devil was so frustrated because he couldn't get to this guy. So there was a hedge of protection around Job, a hedge of protection around his family. There was all of these things that were surrounding Job that were keeping him from any attack the enemy could send, and the devil couldn't go after him unless God would make and allow for the space for him to do that. So God had to allow for the opportunity for the enemy to attack Job in order for the enemy to be able to even do that. And out of that experience that Job had, he also was revealed to be that righteous man. He also learned something about himself and his relationship with God as well.
Job කරන්න ලැබුණා. ඒ විතරක් නෙමෙයි දෙවියන් වහන්සේ එයාට එක තියෙන එයා දෙවියන් වහන්සේට තියෙන සම්බන්ධතාවය දැනගන්න
So with Job, when Job was saying, you know, I want to defend my cause before God and all of this stuff, and then God had to put it back to Job saying, where were you when I made the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I did all of these things? And Job came to a realization really of his place also in God's creation. So for us, we come to a realization as well of our place is part of God's creation right now. Okay. What's part of our place? You are part of the priesthood of all believers. So you are part of God's kingdom in the earth, those who hear directly from the voice of the Spirit of God. You are part of those people that carry out the very will of God in the earth when He speaks, you do. You're part of the body of Christ. The true body of Christ. There's a difference between the body of Christ and the religious systems of this world. One of the main differences is the religious systems of this world, all of them set up human agents that you are dependent on for your relationship and your connection with God or enlightenment or whatever it is that they're selling you. Whereas the true body of Christ are those who know their Savior and they will not follow another. And they all have responsibility within the body of Christ, and they carry out those responsibilities as the Spirit of God would direct them. Okay, now all that groundwork laid for where we are this day. So you and I were born into a world where there were certain things that were brought on us from the very moment that we were here. And one of them is the spiritual battle that we live in and that we face. Okay, the war is with the enemy of our souls. The war is with the enemy of our souls. Enemy of our souls. Which God allows to war against His people. So now God is allowing for this war against us because when we walk through it with Him, what is eternal life? When we walk through with Him, scripture verse, John 17 verse 3.
Then
John. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Okay?
14.
17 verse 3.
17 verse 3. Dahata Tuna. Dahate Sumekinani. Sadahara Jivana. Mela become a Sabahu Divyan Mohansi when a Obasaha, Obavisi never loved Chanastavan, Jesus Christus Mohansi, or missing anything any mighty.
Okay. So, God allows for the war that we're in because as we go through this war and this battle, it also strengthens and it strengthens us, it perfects us, and then also we have a better understanding of our God and our relationship with Him by what we go through. Okay, we have, for example, a better understanding of our authority in Christ Jesus when we come up against these impossible situations. So if you didn't have an impossible situation to face, how then would you know God's full power over all of this? And how then also would you not know, or would you know what you can do in Christ Jesus? See, last time we talked about being strong. Ephesians 6, remember?
Yes, I think
This is the second group. Okay, you'll have to talk to the people from the other week and get the message, and then the two of you combine together. Right. I'll give you the scriptures, and you can check it on your own. But Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, where from verse 10 on. We won't spend much time there today. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 on says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And it goes on just the rest of that chapter, right? So read the rest of that chapter on your own when you have time. But we're instructed to be strong. So you're instructed to move into what God has given you. So no longer remain a child who's weak, but raise up into the warrior that God has made you to be. Okay, now in this process, there's also a very strong battle for your mind. And for your thoughts. Okay, right now the Olympic Games is going on. And these athletes, I know this is part of their training because I used to do a lot of this kind of, I used to be involved with this. There's a lot that goes into the mind and the thinking of someone competing.
Then ඔවුන් තරක කරන දේත් එක්ක මනස සූදානම් කරන එක හරිම වැදගත් වුණා.
So like for example, this swimmer, this American swimmer, Michael Phelps, yes?
Michael Phelps, you know, swimmer got the
Yeah. Do you notice how when he's going up to the blocks even, he has these little earphones on? To go swim his race. He has music playing in his head. So while all these things are going on around him, he's keeping his mind in a certain place all the way up until the moment he's standing before his race. A lot of athletes do this. So they keep their mind in a certain place so that no matter what's going on in the environment around them, they've focused their mind where they want it to be all the way up until the competition. Because for them, there's certain things they want to think about and certain things they don't want to think about. There's a certain state of mind they want to be in right when they're about to compete, and there's a certain state of mind they don't want to be in right when they're in the middle of their competition. Do you understand? Okay, so now you, as you watch these games, some things you start to, okay, I see what they're doing. Because it's not just somebody gave them a CD and now they're going. No, they're finely conditioned for that moment. Okay, so now back to Romans 12, where he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? First, with that first verse. Okay, now God is giving us, through Paul, he's giving us some practical instruction for what we've been called into and our role in walking this thing out. So your body is the temple of the living God. So God does not live in temples built by human hands. The end of Isaiah talks about that. So He doesn't live in structures. But He lives in physical vessels that are given over to Him. He chooses to reside there. So His desire is to live in you, but our response should be to present your body to Him so it can be something that He enjoys living in. It's the difference between a really nice house and a very bad hotel. Have you ever stayed at a hotel that's not nice at all? But you had to stay there for the night for some reason, and the rooms were bad, bed was bad, everything was... He just didn't like to stay there. Versus a place where you walk into, you're like, ah, this is, you can feel even that it's a place that is nice to be. You enjoy the environment there. So even there, the scripture is saying, look, even with your body, present your body a living sacrifice unto God, so it's an environment where the Spirit of God enjoys dwelling. So rather than something where the Spirit of God is like a hotel room, he has to come and stay for a day and then go off, because rather than that, a place where he enjoys dwelling and you welcome his presence continually. Okay, and verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the second part of this is, we need a mind transformation. Now that mind transformation comes from the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Which is able to cut and slice out everything that is not of God, and tear down every imagination and every thought that lifts itself up against the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That mind transformation that takes place is a work of the Spirit of God as we yield to His work in us. It's a work of the Spirit of God as we yield to His work in us. So there's a point where we work with, by our free will, what God is doing in us. And see, the world is working as well to get your mind. So for example, the world will work to have you believe that you need someone to get to God. So the world will work to put this in your mind and in your head that someone has something, someone has some, the special anointing from God, yes? Whereas God has given that to you. In Christ Jesus, you have direct relationship with the Father. He hears your prayer. He is able and strong to work on your behalf in whatever the situation is. So So you don't have to run to Kandy to get some prophetic word from somebody. You don't have to go to Gaul to get to the healing service. You can, right where you are at this moment in time, come before the Spirit of God and He will hear your prayer, He will speak to you, He will undertake on your behalf. And the people that God puts there, His true servants, will confirm what God is already speaking to your heart. So you can take confidence in the work of God that He's already spoken to you that He is doing and will do. Because we all hear from the head who is Christ Jesus when you're walking with Him on the way. So we need that renewed mind. We need those renewed thoughts. And when God has solidified a thought in your heart, hold on to that, because the world and the world system will work to take that away, work to snatch that word away from you. So be strong in what God reveals to you. Hold on to the truth of His word that He puts in your heart. And when you are set free in Christ Jesus, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the whole thing that Galatians talks about. Because the world is doing the job it's supposed to do. And part of that job is to ensnare and entangle you if you will give your world, your will over to it. But God wants you to trust Him for yourself. God wants you to know Him for yourself. God wants you to know Him for yourself. God wants you to love Him for yourself. You and Him in a loving relationship. And He will not share your allegiances. He will not share your affections. He wants your entire heart. And then out of that love and that relationship, then He wants you to go into the world, not be of the world, but go into the world and allow His love to flow through you into this place that needs it. And to be part of this glorious adventure that He allows for His people to live and experience while you're here in this life for a very short period of time. So it's an exciting thing. It's a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing. And every tear that we might cry, the Spirit of God says, look, at the end of this, I wipe away every tear. So it's okay. It's okay. We can count it pure joy when we face trials and tribulations of all kinds. Because the testing of our faith is building perseverance. And that perseverance is building character in you. It's building who you really, really are. And if you follow Christ in all of this, in the end, none of this will disappoint. But now this day, part of what our call is to be strong. Don't be looking for 5 years from now hoping God will do something. Right now, this day, realize who you are in Christ Jesus and take up that authority and walk in it. Right now, this day, don't make excuses anymore, but receive what God's called you to be and live in that. You are a royal priest. You are a minister of the Most High God. You are a son and a daughter of the God of this universe. The Creator, the one that made it all. And you are made in His image and His likeness. You are blessed by God Himself. So live in that. Enjoy that. And seek Him this day. And live in that relationship that He's called you to. Okay, we'll stop there. We always run out of time.